Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, for the last 4 weeks now, we have been talking about soul keeping, about making healthy souls as we travel behind Jesus on this road to Jerusalem during Lent. And so I guess my question this morning is the one that I've posed pretty much every morning since we started with this. How is it with your soul this morning? Is it well? Are you doing all right? As I've dealt with shifting currents of this week, I've made plans and I've changed them. I've made plans and I've changed them. And my soul has been caught in a sort of a tension between faithfulness to Jesus Christ and responsibility to Christ's people. You see, if I had my way, I would have issued an invitation this morning to anyone who felt that they were hale and hearty to come and worship with us, and we would have streamed to the rest of you. That's where my heart is. However, my head has us exactly where we are because we wish to keep everyone safe and we wish to share worship with everyone. And so we go forward this way, but this has given me this tension that I am telling you about. And it's been a difficult week as I've come to adjust to that. But one thing has remained constant amidst all of this change, all of these things that have been done and redone and done again. And that's my concern for all of you. Paul's thoughts for Timothy have been mine for our family in this past week. Listen to him again. He says, "I thank God as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy." It seems that in this time of separation, that we all need to lean on the Holy Spirit, that we all need to learn to live into our longing, and that we all need to pray through our isolation. Or perhaps speaking in more practical terms, we need to stay inside. We need to maintain social distancing. We need to take care of our hygiene. We need to clean ourselves carefully. In other words, we need to be just like our cats. A couple of quotes have come to my mind repeatedly this week as I've prepared this sermon. One of them is old and inspirational, and the other is newer and more imminently challenging. The first is from Thomas Paine, and it was written and spoken in the winter of 1776, which was a particularly desperate time for the American colonies in their experiment in independence. Paine, of course, famously said, "These are the times that try men's souls." Now change that context from American patriotism to Christian faithfulness, and we've got a pretty accurate description of our present environment, I believe. Second quote comes from Dallas Willard, long about 2010, in a particularly desperate time in the personal life of Willard's good friend, John Ortberg. Ortberg sought counsel with Willard, and Willard turned to him and said, "This will be a test of your joyful confidence in God." And again, with a slight shift in context, this seems an accurate observation for us today. This will be a test of your joyful confidence in God. Now, it seems to me that these two quotes, their origins separated by centuries and circumstance, speak truth that we need to hear now. Things have changed rapidly, haven't they? At the beginning of last week, we may have remarked a little fear, but for the most part, we shrugged it off as media hype and went on with life as usual. Then as the plot thickened, as it were, we found ourselves increasingly confined, our activities limited to the breadth of our imaginations, and a certain controlled panic became everywhere evident. We saw it in the set of people's jaws, in the focus and substance of conversations, in the brusque behaviors in parking lots and impatience in checkout lines. Folks were not at their best, seemed to meet uncertainty with insecurity. There was a bit of a Chicken Little syndrome around, I think, where folks were imagining that the sky was indeed falling. But here's the thing. Here's what I came to tell you this morning. Amongst other things, this is nothing new. Nothing new. God's people have known such times since time out of mind. You heard Bonnie read earlier Psalm 46, a psalm that is reacting to times that are not unlike ours. Let me just look at this with you for a minute. It begins, God is our refuge and strength. What a great place to start. Just carry that in your imagination here as we go forward. He goes on, the psalmist does, and he describes God as a very present help in trouble. Are you fearful of the coronavirus? Are you fearful of your isolation? This is the antidote. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, says the psalmist, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Though the very earth should shake, says the psalmist, we will not know fear because God is there, God is with us. He goes on and he talks about this river whose streams make glad the city of God. This is the river of God, the river of God's provision for us. And he says that God's in the midst of this city, that she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns, says the psalmist. In his context, this city was Jerusalem and the location was the temple. But in our context, it is the church. It is the church of Jesus Christ, and God is indeed in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, and God will help her when morning dawns. Of that we can be sure. Because the psalmist tells us, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In fact, he tells us that three times just to make sure that we hear him. And then he goes on. Then he goes on and gives us some really key instruction. He turns to us, looks us in the eye, and says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Two critical instructions for finding personal peace in the midst of this turmoil. These two imperatives point the way to some important realizations during this season of quarantine. So let me ask you, does it seem to you that the restrictions that are presently being placed upon our lives are altogether a bad thing? I just wonder. Might this time of enforced quiet provide us opportunities to be still? Opportunities normally swallowed up in the daily noise and activity. And might it in turn lead us into truly knowing that He is God and we are not? This just might be our chance to find out. You see, perhaps quarantine is not a time of limitations. Perhaps it's a time of permission. Permission to come closer. Permission to know God better. You have time on your hands. Go seek relationship. When you think about the electronic equipment that you have in your living room or your family room, there are amplifiers, and there are TV controls, and there are all of those things. And one of the most important things about all of them is they have a pause button. It becomes really important if you have to take a break and go to the bathroom. But it also becomes important when you walk in the house, and the family that's been there has been watching TV, and there's something on, and it's turned up, and it's loud, and you're there, and it's the background to everything that's going on. I know you know what I'm talking about. The music is playing and it's been playing. The TV is on and it's been on. And the noise is incessant. The sensation of that noise is blissful to our ears when we reach out and hit that pause button. And all of a sudden the quiet settles around us and we know a bit of peace. Perhaps this cessation of endless activity that we have known, perhaps that cessation will be equally blissful to our souls. Perhaps this time this time of peace is just what we need. This is not to take lightly, of course, the human, the social, and the economic costs of our current contagion. But isn't it just possible that God is using this disease born in our sin to put us toward a holier and healthier way of soul keeping? At least in this particular moment. For time being, you don't have to attend all those events. For the time being, you don't need to do all those things for people that you have been doing. Maybe this is the call to hit the pause button to simplify our lives in these weeks that lie before us. Think about that. Think about that and put away your fear. Think about that and put away your sorrow. Think about that and put away your loneliness and put away your car keys. Breathe deep. Change the rhythms of your life. And think creatively about what meaningful things you can do in this time of newfound possibilities. Pay attention to your inner voice, the one that's been drowned out with the white noise of your busy life. Listen to your heart. Ask yourself what you've been wanting to do for the longest time, and then live into that longing. Revisit your relationship with God. Seek Him in Scripture. Seek Him in prayer. Seek Him through journaling. Solitude can be such a rich experience. The fathers and mothers of the church have spoken eloquently to that over the centuries. And there are lots of ways to remain in community. We've been exploring them here, even across the distance. You can't go to church. So spend this time apart to revalue your faith family. If you're part of this family here at Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church, what does it mean to you? What has it meant to you? How much do you miss it? Have you been a participant? If so, give thanks. Have you been a complainer? Then think about how trivial those things seem in this particular moment. Have you been a gossip? Think about how much you miss everybody this morning. You can't go to meetings, so pick up a phone and call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. Better yet, call somebody you know who is lonely and more isolated than you. You can't go out to dinner, so try cooking a good meal for yourself again. Better yet, cook up a pot of soup, cook up a pan of lasagna, and call the church to come and distribute it to those who can't cook for themselves any longer. Do you have kids around? Maybe grandkids? Sit down. Do a craft project with them. Make cookies with them. Better yet, make cookies with them and call the church. You get the idea. Pull out those old board games and jigsaw puzzles. Dust them off. Put them on the dining room table. Read a good book. Get a list of the 100 greatest movies of all times or the last 25 Academy Award winners and start working your way through it. There's a wealth of riches in that material. It's a great time of year to be outside. Enjoy your back patio. Listen to the birds. Watch the sunset. Plant flowers. Get new pots. Rearrange your patio. Start a vegetable garden. There's time for that now. Rake the yard. Spray the weeds. Go for a walk. Take a dog for a walk. Better yet, go for a walk with someone you've been wanting to spend time with and take the dog with you. You get the idea. Spend this afternoon coming up with your own suggestions. So here's my advice this morning. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to seize the day. I want you to seize this day, and I want you to fill it with good things, because believe me, busyness will return altogether too soon. It'll be back. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is with us, our refuge, our strength, a very present help in times of trouble. So let go of your fear and embrace your faith. As Paul advises Timothy this morning, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, he says, not of fear, but of power, of love, and of self-control. Friends, it's a great day to hit the pause button. Be gentle. Practice kindness. Let grace abound. Grace for yourself and grace for those around you. Amen.